Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers-Giants NFC wildcard playoffs coming up Sunday afternoon, 3:40 Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field. And as that game gets closer and we take a closer look at the Giants, I know we'll have plenty to talk about with regards to Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr. and those superstars. But when I look at this Giants team, the biggest difference to me from the one that came to Lambeau Field early in the season in week five, I believe it was,
right,
is that the current version of the Giants has figured out how to run the football.
They have.
That one that came to Lambeau Field early in the year was really struggling to find any kind of ground game whatsoever with injuries and trying out different running backs. They've found their ground game now, and it's made a difference in their offense.
Yeah, they were really banged up at running back. And even as so, when they were healthy, they weren't exactly the league's best running team. But I can't remember what the running back's name was that they played in that first game.
Darkwa,
Orleans Darkwa.
Yeah,
good memory. But now, I mean, they got Rashad Jennings back. You saw Paul Perkins kind of break out a little bit this past week against Washington when they really needed to run the ball. So a lot of options there that they can go with now, and I think that's something they're going to be leaning heavily on for sure going into this game against the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, Perkins has really emerged as a productive rookie for them. Kind of seems, in my mind, at least when you look at things statistically, that he's surpassed Jennings maybe on the depth chart. And this Giants team, I believe it's six of their last eight regular season games, they've topped 100 yards rushing as a team. And in their last three games of the regular season, they've averaged 129, almost 130 yards rushing per game, and that's a far cry from where they were. So when you look at their ranking statistically for the season in the NFL, they're near the bottom of the league in rushing as far as offense is concerned. That doesn't really tell the story because it's what they're doing right now, and it's any kind of running game is going to help out a quarterback like Manning, especially, you know, when he's not as mobile as perhaps he was earlier in his career.
Yeah, definitely, Mike. And a Paul Perkins, rookie out of UCLA, former teammate of Kenny Clark, he's really sort of become the bell cow kind of guy down the stretch. As you mentioned, it's not just the touches that he's getting. You know, 11 carries against Detroit, 15 against Philadelphia, and then 21 last week against Washington. It's his productivity, 5.1 yards a carry, 4.5 yards a carry, 4.9 yards a carry. That's production that even he wasn't getting earlier this season with those opportunities. So you're looking at a young man that's gotten better as the season has wore on. The Giants' offense is different. I mean, they don't have like a traditional fullback. They're going to do a lot of one-back sets. They're going to have to work a lot off the H-back stuff. So it isn't like they're going to, even at their best, I don't think they're going to be this team that's going to run it 25, 30 times a game. But it's making the most of those chances when you do give him the ball. And that's something that, especially with Eli Manning holding on to the ball as much as he has these last few weeks, Perkins has been really important for them being able to sustain those drives.
Yeah, and you can see that this is the type of running game that Coach Ben McAdoo wants for the Giants, and he's been wanting to develop all season because the overall strength of their team is their defense. Offensively, you look at what they've done, they don't score more than 20 points in a game very often. It doesn't happen a lot, but they rely on their defense. And to help out the defense, they want to run the ball, limit possessions, you know, try to keep as much time of possession on their offensive side as possible. They really try to play that balanced game between offense and defense, and it's been working for them. I mean, you can't argue, A, with an 11-5 record, but then B, the fact that they're really the only team that has beaten the Dallas Cowboys
right.
in a meaningful game this year. The Cowboys with three losses, two of them to the Giants, and the third one when they kind of mailed it in week 17 and didn't really play their best players.
Yeah.
So this is a Giants team that has a lot going for it. And, you know, the Packers obviously have the hot streak and the home field and all that. I think this is, you know, maybe I'm biased, but this might be the best of the wild card weekend matchups when you look at four of them.
I think no question about that. I mean, you look at two, how they kind of shape these wild card round matchups over the years. It seems like they do kind of build towards it a little bit. And this is definitely, I would consider, the main event. I mean, you look at what the Giants have done this season, 11 wins. That's nothing to, you know, shake your fist at. And then you see the Packers getting on their six-game winning streak. But as you said, Mike, the biggest difference between this Giants team that finally got back to the playoffs and the ones that had just come up just short the last few years under Tom Coughlin is the defense. And you and I touched on this a little bit earlier this week, but jumping from where they were at last year, now 10th in the league in total defense, that's a quantum leap that they've been able to make, and really being able to deepen their coffers at that at multiple positions there, I think has really helped this team get to this point and be able to have the success they have, particularly against a team like Dallas.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into that defense when we come back after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Wes, you brought up the Giants' defense in our last segment. And last season, statistically, that was one of the worst units in the league. They rebuilt it in a hurry.
Yeah.
They did it through free agency primarily, which is a roll of the dice, because when you spend that kind of money, if one or two of your selections in free agency don't work out, you can really be in trouble. But three big free agents they brought in on the defense, nose tackle or defensive tackle Damon Harrison, pass rusher Olivier Vernon, and then cornerback Janoris Jenkins. And all three of those guys are big-time parts of this defense. They've all worked out, and the unit is now one of the best in the league.
Yeah, what's really startling, Mike, is you go back to last season, the Giants were giving up 420 yards per game of total offense. This year, 339 yards for 10th in the league. They almost, that's 90 yards a game that they cut off, at 80 yards per game.
Yeah.
It's incredible how far they've come, and you're right. It is a roll of the dice anytime that you go into free agency. I'm not going to argue with that, but what's interesting about what the Giants did, it's almost kind of like a Ted Thompson sort of approach to free agency, in that they went really young. I mean, we're not talking about guys who are 8-9 year vets. But all these guys were coming off their rookie deals. When you look at Janoris Jenkins, when you look at Damon Harrison, and then obviously Olivier Vernon, you go back to Miami, they actually gave him the transition tag. They decide to sign Mario Williams instead, cut him, allow him to become a free agent, and then ends up getting a big deal from the Giants. It's a 4-3 scheme. That's the way that, you know, Steve Spagnuolo plays it.
Right.
But the thing about Vernon is he's kind of a tweener player. He could play a 3-4 outside backer. He could play defensive end. And I think they've really benefited from his versatility this season.
Yeah, and I don't want to discount the Giants' pass rush by any means. Certainly the Packers' offensive line, their pass protection has been stellar all season long. But when I look at the matchup standpoint for this game, you have Jenkins, you have Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Eli Apple. You have three cornerbacks who are pretty high-level guys.
Right.
That's where the Giants feel like they're going to match up against the Packers receivers better than some of these teams that have been playing the Packers recently, as this Green Bay offense has gotten on a roll and Aaron Rodgers has gotten on a roll. The Packers receivers, Jordy Nelson, hopefully Randall Cobb is back from the ankle injury, Geronimo Allison, Davante Adams, Jared Cook. These guys, this is a tough assignment to get open against this bunch, and you know, we'll just have to see how they can succeed. It's a tough task for Aaron Rodgers, for sure.
Yeah, and this is a healthier group now too, Mike. Yeah, I remember that first game at Green Bay. Eli Apple, I think, was dealing with the hamstring injury. You also had Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie played in that game, but was actually out the week before that. I believe that was also a hamstring. So they were down some of their guys, but they did see Janoris Jenkins, and he did have two interceptions in that contest. Really high level. I don't think anyone's ever questioned his ability. It's just been about the production side of it. The Giants saw something in him after the Rams let him go in free agency. He comes in there and has really been a nice shutdown corner for them as well. So, yeah, I agree with what you said there. When you look at these spread offenses in the league, McAdoo knows it better than anybody. You need to have 3-4 cornerbacks deep to be able to combat that. That's something they've been able to do. You mix that in with the pass rush this year. JPP, when he was playing, 7 sacks. Vernon with 8.5 this year. It's been a really good 1-2 punch for them in being able to really, you know, throw some opposing offenses kind of on their heels a little bit.
Yeah, schematically, it's going to be interesting to see how this game unfolds, because we talked about the Giants obviously being very different running the football. The Packers clearly very different running
right.
the football compared to the first meeting when Eddie Lacy was still playing and being productive and all of that. So with both of these offenses, if you get any kind of a running game going and get the other team to commit a safety to the line of scrimmage
yeah.
or to the box to stop the run, that changes the whole outlook for the quarterback against the pass. But if you can keep two safeties back and you can still stop the running game, that's going to make it difficult on the quarterback. So this is one of those games. Neither team has a running game to, you know, shout from the rooftops about, so to speak. But the running game is going to be very, very important in this ballgame.
I think you make a case it was the difference in that first game, too, because the Packers really were able to keep that safety back. They were able to supply help for LaDarius Gunter in his matchup when he was going against Odell Beckham Jr. Beckham Jr., I think, only had 5 catches for 56 yards and maybe a touchdown in that game. But considering his 1,300 yards on the season, not the damage that he's done to a lot of teams this season. So they were smart. I want to say that Victor Cruz didn't have a catch in that game either. So they were able to really, you know, kind of manipulate and really dictate the course of that game with what they did defensively. And when you look at HaHa Clinton Dix, when you look at Morgan Burnett, we'll see how Burnett's going to have to play this week, depending on what the injury front is like for the Packers.
Right.
But when those two guys are able to sit back, when they're both able to play, you know, above the top end of that on the back end, that's when I think you really can see the Packers have a lot of success. And when you go back to the script for them the first month of the season, I think that's one of the things that played into it.
Yeah. Well, this matchup with Odell Beckham Jr. is a big one that we'll talk a lot more about it here after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, getting back to Odell Beckham Jr., he is the playmaker on this Giants offense. You look back to the first meeting between the Packers and Giants this year, it's interesting to remember. Beckham scored his first touchdown of the season at Lambeau Field. He'd gone the first 4 games, I believe it was, for the Giants without a touchdown. He ended up with 10 in the regular season, so he got double-digit touchdowns in basically 3/4 of a season, ended up with, is it over 100 catches?
Yeah, 101.
101 catches this year. Fast guy, can break tackles. He's their big play guy, and, you know, we don't know what the Packers' injury situation is going to be at cornerback come Sunday afternoon. But the Packers did a pretty good job on him the first time around. As you said, dictating, dictated in large part because they were able to stop the run and keep two safeties back and always have that extra help. That's the scheme that the Giants are going to try to pull the Packers out of to give Odell Beckham a little more one-on-one opportunity.
Yeah, it's incredible how the narrative has changed since that Week 5 matchup. You go back then, Mike, that was where people were talking about, they're kind of questioning Ben McAdoo. Does the system work? Odell Beckham Jr. was displeased at the opportunities and targets that he was getting. Well, suddenly that changes. The script completely flips. He has another amazing year, 101 catches, 1,367 yards, 10 touchdowns. And as you said, he can do it all. He also has arguably the best hands in the league right now in terms of what he can pull down and his catch radius, even if he isn't the biggest guy, what he can do in his vertical leap. And it's pretty incredible. Eli Manning seems to have a really good rapport with him. And yeah, this is going to be a different ballgame. I'm sure he's going to come into this game with a lot more swagger than he did that first game when there was the questions about his, you know, mindset and maturity and if he can keep his emotions in check. You haven't heard a lot of that lately. You've been hearing more about these boat trips that, you know, he's going down and taking a day off, which I thought Eli Manning had a pretty funny quip about saying, yeah, he didn't pack any. He was disappointed that he didn't pack any shirts with him. So, you know, the Giants are having fun with it. Beckham is a talented guy, and I think the Packers going into this matchup, they're going to have him up on the board as number one for who they need to shut down and make sure that Eli Manning can't have an easy outlet to him on the field.
Yeah, and from a personality standpoint, this is the kind of stage that a guy like Beckham, you know, he's coming into Lambeau Field wanting to really show what he's got and show his stuff. This will be his first postseason game
playoff appearance,
of his career. So granted, it's been a brief career so far, but a very impressive one. I'm curious to see what the Packers are going to do in terms of trying to match up with him. I think if you have a fully healthy Demaryius Randle in terms of the speed factor, that's probably the guy that you'd want to put on Beckham. But if Randle is not healthy, then it's more likely you go with LaDarius Gunter, who's your healthiest cornerback. And as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, the guy who's kind of been the rock of the corners from a health standpoint all season long. But you can't ask LaDarius Gunter to cover OBJ one-on-one for an entire game, and Dom Capers isn't going to do that. So there's going to be some mixing and matching and adjusting that has to go on, and a lot of it will be determined by Green Bay's health come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And that's at the time at which we're taping this, we don't know what the outlook's going to be for Randall. We probably won't know what the outlook will be for Randall until later this week, I would imagine, maybe even until, you know, Saturday. So Quentin Rollins, again, obviously a positive sign that he was able to make it back to Green Bay after the neck injury, but we're not sure how that's going to impact his availability for this postseason. So those are the things we're going to have to wait for. What the Packers do know is they have Ladarius Gunter. And when if I'm Joe Witt right now in that meeting room this week, I'm saying, hey, Ladarius, you played lights out against this guy the first time. I remember writing a story for our website about how he was a big key to the Packers being able to pull that off. Because this is the Packers are used to this. They haven't had all their corners all season. So they are conditioned for scheming and figuring out a game plan and trying to adjust to it. I think the biggest thing is dependent on whether or not Morgan Burnett gets to play his natural position or if they have to use him somewhere else. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, for sure. Randall actually did miss, I believe, the first game against the Giants this year. He did not play. The Packers did have Rollins for that game. But, it's one of those things that we may not even really have any feel for how the Packers are going to try to handle this until kickoff on Sunday afternoon when the defense takes the field for the first time. But you know that even as much focus as there will be on Odell Beckham Jr., as I said before, the Giants are going to want to run the football, make the Packers commit more personnel to stopping the run, and give Eli better looks on the outside.
It makes his life easier, and I think when you look at their success this season, that's been when it's been easiest on Eli to have a big game.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. It's meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky chicken broccoli cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's talk a little bit more about Eli Manning. He's sort of been the name we haven't mentioned too much so far in the show. I'm really interested to see exactly how Manning performs in this game. In 2016, his passer rating is not very impressive. He's thrown, I believe it's 16 interceptions, a few lost fumbles along with that. But this is a guy who's won two Super Bowls. He's put together two Super Bowl runs in his career. That being said, this is his first playoff game since he won his second Super Bowl 5 years ago. That's kind of hard to believe, in a sense. But it makes for an interesting, I guess, stage setter for this, with this being Eli Manning's return to the postseason.
Yeah, no question, Mike. And this is something, too, with Manning. It's kind of been this topsy-turvy kind of few years. He had it, I think it was 2012, I think it was, or maybe 2013, where he just had that, I don't want to say awful, but I mean, he had like 26 interceptions?
Yeah,
it was
in the 20s, yeah.
And then that was the year in which the Giants ended up bringing in Ben McAdoo. And since he's worked with McAdoo, I think you've seen him kind of refine a couple of those things, work on some of the mechanics side of it, and obviously can still take control of a game at any time. But at the same time, there's still the turnovers. There's still the interceptions. 16 of them this year. I think that tied for fourth most in the NFL. He also had four fumbles lost. So it's been a lot on that defense to be able to make sure that when there are those kind of turnovers and those change of possessions, that those takeaways, those adversity situation defenses, that they step up to it. They've done a great job of it this year. But I think if you're the Packers this week, and especially these secondary coaches, talking about, okay, there's probably going to be some opportunities, and you need to make sure you take advantage of it when the ball's out there.
Yeah, those opportunities are going to come from the pass rush, as we've talked about all year, how this goes hand in hand, but particularly with a quarterback like Manning, because for a guy who's not very mobile, I don't want to say statue in the pocket, sure, but he's not as mobile as he was earlier in his career. He's only been sacked 21 times this year. part of the reason he's only been sacked 21 times is when he's under pressure, he'll let it fly. He'll get the ball, make sure he gets the ball out to not take the sack. And sometimes those can be risky throws, and those are the ones that the defense might have a chance to pounce on. So getting pressure on Manning, especially if Dom Capers and that defensive front can get pressure on Manning without having to blitz, so you have the extra help back in the secondary, that could go a long way in this ball game.
The three sacks that the Packers had against him week five, that was the most that the Giants had allowed all season. And also, if you remember that, Eric Flowers, their left tackle, had a pretty tough day in that whole experience as well. So that is definitely the blueprint, as I think we end up talking about a lot of weeks, is getting that pressure. But particularly with Manning, in the way that he's kind of put together in his skill set, you don't want to give him a lot of time because he can hurt you. And his arm is as live as anybody's in the NFL. We haven't seen a lot of the deep balls from him the last 3 weeks or so, but that big play potential is still there, especially when he's throwing to Beckham.
Yeah, and you look at Eli Manning over his career, as I mentioned before, this is his first time back in the postseason in 5 years. But in his two runs to the Super Bowl, the three playoff victories that the Giants needed to get to each of those Super Bowls, five of those six playoff victories were on the road. We know two of them were at Lambeau Field. We don't need to revisit all that. But this is a quarterback who's gone on the road in the postseason wherever he's gone and been a pretty tough customer.
Yeah, he has had much, when you look at fortitude back there, just his composure, there's no lack of it. I mean, he's well conditioned, 36 years old now. He's no longer Peyton's little brother. I mean, this is a guy that has been a quarterback in this league for over a decade now and done it at a pretty high level. It's just that when you look at these games, you need big time performances, and who's it going to come from? And I think, you know, when you look at any playoff contender, they need a big play performance from their quarterback, and the Giants certainly need that out of Manning.
Yeah, and don't discount the motivation that he has two Super Bowls, and so does his older brother. Yeah. He might try to be upping Peyton this year. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.